Emergency sirens went off in Dallas, but it was a pretty low-tech hack. Inmates in an Ohio prison build their own computers to access the internet, and the shadow brokers offer up a Good Friday surprise. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I'm Shannon Morrison. This is ThreatWire for April 18, 2017. Your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. If you haven't checked out our Patreon yet, please do so. We have lots that we want to do for this show, but we can't do it, obviously, without your support. My next goal is to add a monthly Q&A exclusively for our patrons, and we are going to upgrade our ThreatWire set. Super excited about that, too. Patreon.com/ThreatWire is the place to support ThreatWire, and the link is in the show notes. Now, on to the news. The past week has been full of hacking claims, and now that a bit of time has passed, we are getting a much clearer picture from several different stories. My first coverage is of the Dallas emergency sirens debacle. Dallas, Texas is covered in emergency sirens that are used for tornado warnings and other emergencies. It was installed in 2007 by a company called Federal Signal, and the system totals 156 sirens that use a tonal type system. It's basically controlled by tone combinations used by the emergency alert system in the National Weather Service, and by shift keying commands sent over UHF via emergency radio frequency by a dispatcher. The frequency reserved for emergency broadcasts is 700 megahertz range, and legally, no other communications can use that range. But in the case of Dallas, someone was able to duplicate the tone combinations used to turn on and sound the alarm system and played it repeatedly for over 90 minutes. After this happened, city officials disabled the alarms, and the Dallas City Council plans to invest $100,000 in enhanced security of the system. When this story first surfaced, many suspected that it was a server hack, but it was actually a very low-tech problem. Since the radio spectrum is quite public, anyone with the right equipment can listen to the tones in their area and reverse engineer them to understand what they are used for. Transmitting their own tones requires a little bit more legwork, but it is totally possible. Finding the culprit, though, would probably be very hard to do. Now, while this prank is a relatively simple hack, and I do prefer to call it a prank in this case, it does bring to light an ongoing situation of insecure city infrastructure. This isn't the first time or the very last time that we're going to see a hack to municipalities, but it has gotten at least one city, in this case Dallas, to finally look into upgrading their old tech. I guess it's better late than never, right? Two of our Patreon supporters sent this story my way, so big thanks to Jason and Desi Matrix. If you are a patron of ThreatWire, post your story ideas and links in the community tab on our Patreon page, and we might pick your story for our next episode. Now, way back in 2015, a complaint was issued by the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction to the Ohio Inspector General about two computers found in a ceiling above a training room in a prison that were connected to the internet. They were not owned by the state of Ohio, so the prison staff, they were a little worried. The just-released report by the Inspector General showed that these internet-connected PCs were being used for tax and credit card fraud, porn, and drug recipes. Apparently, you can look up drug recipes and anything else on the internet. All from inside the prison. And the only reason staff found it was because software alerted them of some kind of excessive data usage on their lines. After discovering the odd data, prison staff found the physical PCs by tracing the computer's port number back to a network switch that resided close to the training room where the inmates were trained in PC usage, and that's where the computers were found. Inmates swiped parts from a computer disassembly program that employed them and installed an operating system on the two machines 4 months prior to their discovery. The inmates were pretty well versed enough to figure out networking the PC as well as using OpenVPN, Kane, and other tools popular in InfoSec. 5 inmates were involved and have now been transferred to different prisons. You can read the whole report at a link in the show notes. It's kind of hilarious. Windows has been in the news a lot this past week. First, a Microsoft Word vulnerability was found by security researchers at FireEye and posted last weekend in a blog article. The problem is a zero-day that could install malware on fully patched PCs via Word. An attacker could write an email and attach the malicious Word document, and once opened, the affected computer would connect to a malicious server, giving the attacker more access. This could affect Windows 10 users as well, and it does not require macros to be turned on, so that makes it even worse. Ars Technica later reported that the hack is being used in the wild to infect PCs with malware called Driver. FIDEX, which is used for bank fraud. Along with this, two other flaws were being exploited in the wild, one on Internet Explorer and one on Microsoft Office 2016, 2013, and 2010. Microsoft released a patch for the 0 days last week on Patch Tuesday, and it is rather crucial to update. Now remember Shadow Brokers as well? They were trying to auction off a whole bunch of hacking tools that they had reportedly obtained from the Equation Group, which is the cyber hacking unit that has been linked to the NSA, several months ago with no buyers. Well, they finally released about 300 megabytes of data, which they dubbed Lost in Translation, and they included archive folders titled Windows, Swift, and Oddjob. The Windows folder held hacking tools for older Windows computers like XP and Server 2003. Oddjob contained a tool used against Server 2003 to Windows XP professional machines, and the last contained presentations about the Swift Service Bureau in the Middle East called EastNets. You'll probably remember that Swift was hacked late last year. Yeah, that's kind of what this is about. So EastNets denied any Swift hack, saying that the data was old from a server that was retired in 2013. The EastNets documents show credentials, account information, and admin account info, and if true, could be proof that the Equation Group was indeed targeting Swift bank bureaus several years ago from companies in the Middle East. According to Microsoft, most of the vulnerabilities shared by Shadow Brokers were already patched as well. Of the remaining ones called Englishman Dentist, which is a super weird name, Esteem Audit, and Exploding Can, none could be reproduced, and Windows 7 and up were not at risk. Security researchers have also been delving into code released by Shadow Brokers that seems to be oddly similar to Stuxnet, and it coincides with the first detection of Stuxnet way back in 2010. This code could link the NSA to Stuxnet, but that hasn't been confirmed by the US government or researchers. Thank you again to all the wonderful, fine people out there who contribute to patreon.com/threatwire. If you can spare a bit of change, any little bit helps us keep the show going completely independent and ad-free. We now have an audio-only RSS feed, we have extra content, and early access for our patrons. We might even feature your fur baby like this new one this week in an upcoming episode of Threatwire. And of course, if you cannot donate, you can hit the subscribe button, that totally helps, and you can share this episode on your favorite social media page. Make sure to use the hashtag ThreatWire so that we can see it, and we might retweet you as well. With that, I am Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet.